The director of the Pirates of the Caribbean Swashbuckler has made an intimate story of a Chicago weatherman on the brink of despair. The Weatherman stars Nicolas Cage, with Hope Davis as his estranged wife and Michael Caine, again, as the father who wants his chaotic son to grow up.
Nicolas Cage couldn't have found a more natural fit than David Spritz, the title character of The Weatherman. Cage is a very entertaining actor, but he's not much of an interactor. He likes to play solipsistic men, men who live in an emotional vacuum and get to a point where they're desperately reaching out through the fog. Just like Spritz, who changed his name from Spritzel at his TV station's request, because a lot of weathermen adopt cute meteorological names. But in this persona, he feels shallow and ridiculous, especially when passersby repeat his stupid catchphrases or inexplicably bombard him with slurpees or big gulps. Spritz is having one of the most naked existential crises I've seen in a movie, and I've seen them all. He can't get on the wavelength of his heavy daughter or pothead son, both of whom are rapidly approaching crisis points. He wants desperately to get back with his ex-wife, played by Hope Davis, but she'll have none of his spacey self-centeredness. And his father, a famous novelist played by Michael Caine, has lymphoma and is probably going to die without seeing his son become a responsible adult. There's one surprising grace note in this parade of miseries, which is that Cage's Spritz is really good on TV. True, he's not a meteorologist, but we see through the TV monitors that he's a master at engaging the viewer's eye, and we know why he has been chosen to try out for a gig on a national morning show. But being a weatherman comes easy to David. It doesn't stretch him. It's the path of least resistance. There's a fast food motif in the movie, and in a voiceover, David even comes to understand the nature of what has been splattering him.
The first time I was struck with something, a chicken breast from Kenny Rogers, I was standing next to a garbage pail. I thought it might have been an accident that they were throwing it out. The second time, it hit me square on the chin, a soft taco. Then, pop, a falafel, McNuggets, always fast food, fast food. Things that people would rather throw out than finish. It's easy, it tastes all right, but it doesn't really provide you any nourishment. I'm fast food.
With one lapse that I'll talk about later, Stephen Conrad's script is good and nervy. It balances the bleakness with wry narration and extremely funny squirmy embarrassments, and not squirmy funny in the reflexive way of Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm. The embarrassment often comes from trying and failing to measure up to the expectations of his father, played by Caine with such grave and soulful decorum, as a miracle of self-discipline and centeredness. The Weatherman builds to an unusually double-edged epiphany, a variation on accept who you are, but framed as resignation, a resignation that helps you live in the world and be responsible and grow up. Yet I don't think this is a great movie. Much of the fault is the direction of Gore Verbinski, best known for Pirates of the Caribbean. He's an intelligent and skillful filmmaker, but he's impersonal and overly controlled. And here he gets one visual idea and sticks to it. The Weatherman is set in a wintry Chicago, and there isn't a touch of red or green. It's all white and gray and ice blue with droning ambient music, and it's all hard lines, bare, straight trees, skyscrapers, metal desks, and glass partitions. David becomes obsessed by archery, and while this isn't spelled out, it's clear he's drawn to the straight lines and the focus. He's trying to straighten out himself in a universe of swirling winds and unpredictable currents. It's also perfectly worked out that it's suffocating, and Cage's one-note plaintiveness is too familiar, because always, always, the Cage stands alone. Now the one aspect of the script that bothered me. David's teenage son, played by Nicholas Holt, is set on by a pedophile drug counselor, and one way this absent father proves himself is by beating the guy up. Now, life would be simpler if we could all prove our worth to our loved ones by finding predatory pedophiles to beat up. Thank heaven there aren't enough to go around, except in movies, when they slither in on cue to prove that righteous violence has a way of cutting through knotty spiritual crises.
David Edelstein is film critic for Slate.